This is the second in a series of podcasts for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University. And having already convinced you of the importance of networks in the first podcast, in this second podcast, I want to talk about some of the practicalities of how you create an infrastructure to use networks in your working day as a journalist. And there's a very lengthy blog post which goes into more detail about these processes, which I'll put in the links below this podcast. But it comes down to three things. It comes down to three pieces of technology. And these are social networks, RSS readers, and social bookmarking. And I'll explain again how each of those works and how they connect together as well, and how they work for you as a journalist. So I'll begin with RSS readers. RSS readers are a tool, a piece of software which you can use to subscribe to feeds of information from a range of sources. And an RSS reader, the best known RSS reader is Google Reader. An RSS reader will bring all of those feeds together into one place where you can check those feeds every day. It's commonly compared to news wires. So if you think that in a traditional newsroom, you might have news wires coming in from the Press Association or and other agencies, these news wires will tell you what's happening according to those organisations. An RSS reader takes that concept and makes it free, but it also adds it, increases it from a handful of feeds to what can be hundreds. In my RSS reader, I have around 500 to 600 different feeds. And I'll explain later why that's not a frightening figure. So an RSS reader, as I said, brings in feeds from different information sources. Some of those will be traditional news sources, so you can subscribe to what are called RSS feeds of information from different newspapers or broadcasters. The BBC News website, for example, has dozens of RSS feeds for things like environmental news, political news, different football teams, for example. The Guardian has a system where you can make your own address for specific RSS feeds. So you have an unlimited almost number of RSS feeds from The Guardian. But actually those are the least interesting. In addition to these kind of traditional news sources, you can also subscribe to feeds from blogs. Pretty much every blog will have its own RSS feed. From podcasts, obviously, from video channels and YouTube, from Flickr, so you can have photo updates. You can also subscribe to RSS feeds from Facebook pages. You can subscribe to RSS feeds of individual Twitter users or a group of people that you are following on Twitter, although I don't think you should, and I'll explain why. In addition to those single sources of information, you can also subscribe to searches. So instead of having to do a particular search every day on Google or on Google News, or on blogs or forums, you can use particular tools to give you an RSS feed for that search. And results for that search will come into your RSS reader through that RSS feed. So, for example, you might be reporting on a particular industry and there are key companies in that industry. And normally you would check to see if any have been mentioned on the blogs or on Google News or anything like that. Instead, what you would do is you would do one search on Google News for one of those companies. And then at the bottom, you'll find a link to the RSS feed for that search. And then you subscribe to that. And as I say, results will appear in your RSS reader. For blogs, you can use Google Blog Search or you can use a specialist blog search engine like IceRocket. For forums, you can use Board Reader. For Twitter, obviously, Twitter has its own search engine, which will also give RSS feeds for results, and that is search.twitter.com. And you can get similar RSS feeds for various other services as well. And if you look at the article supporting this podcast, you'll see some more detail there. But the key feature of an RSS reader is it allows you to subscribe to feeds from a range of sources and bring them all into one place. What this means is it takes you a lot less time to check on the latest news in your field. It makes it less likely that you will miss particular mentions, and it also makes it possible to do so on the move. It really suits mobiles very well. I use my RSS reader on my mobile phone, so I'll check it in the morning over breakfast or when I'm traveling to work, and I'll check it when I'm traveling back from work or whenever I've got any dead time. And so I'll come across things there that I might otherwise miss. And in a nutshell, this RSS reader is there to keep in touch with things. It's to keep up to date with the latest things happening in your area. It might not always generate leads, but it will allow you to know the context within your industry, within the field that you're covering or location. And as a result, when a lead does come up, you will spot that this is a lead and you will have the context. So that's RSS readers. The second part of my network infrastructure is social networks. And social networks are obviously about people. And this is about having access to sources. It's about having access to expertise and also a little bit of news as well, because quite often news will break on a social network as well. Now, there are a number of social networks, and which ones you use will depend on what you're covering. If you're covering industries, professional sort of sectors, business to business, then LinkedIn might be appropriate for you. If you're covering entertainment, then Twitter, obviously, and sport, Twitter would be particularly useful. Politics is well represented on sport as well. There may be specialist social networks for your industry. So if you're covering health, there are particular forums and social networks devoted to that. So it's worth looking for those. And of course, Facebook is useful across all of these, although its lack of a public nature makes it less useful than more public platforms like Twitter. But social networks, as I say, are about being aware of who is saying what and doing what in your field. It's not necessarily about keeping up to date with the more general RSS feeds. The final part of this network infrastructure is social bookmarking. And this is an area of it which is most often overlooked because it's least obvious where the benefit is for you as a journalist. Social bookmarking is a process whereby you store things of interest to you. You bookmark them. Now, a lot of people might bookmark websites, web pages on their computer. That's useful for a limited number of web pages, but once you get beyond a certain amount, it becomes impossible to manage those bookmarks, and it becomes very difficult to find bookmarks that you saved a while ago. What social bookmarking does is two things. First of all, it puts those bookmarks online so you can access them from any computer. And secondly, it asks you to tag those bookmarks, which means giving it descriptive keywords. And those keywords might include the type of information that it is. So it might be report or research or article or so on. It can include key organisations and individuals. So it might have Paul Bradshaw, it might have Mitsubishi, Apple, and so on. It might include the author of the piece of information. It might include the publisher. It might include places that it refers to as well. But basically, tags are used to make it easy for you to find that piece of information later. So when you tag a bookmark, it's best to think about what you're going to think of when you try to remember this, which is why sometimes you might mention the publisher or the author or something like that. So as I said, social bookmarking makes that information available to you. It's like a personal search engine. When you come across a useful web page, you bookmark it using a social bookmarking service like Delicious or Dig, and you add tags to it. And what that means is that if you come across a story in the future where that information is going to be relevant and it's going to add some value, then you can very quickly find it using your social bookmarking account. To give you a concrete example, over a period of years or months, let's say, I might be reading a number of articles. I might come across articles and reports and pieces of research and data and all kinds of pieces of information, some of which I won't actually read, but I'll bookmark these and I'll bookmark them with, let's say, BBC, user-generated content. Okay, so anything to do with those two things will be bookmarked with those two tags. At some point, a story might erupt around the BBC and user-generated content. I can very quickly then look at everything that I've tagged with those two tags in my social bookmarking account on Delicious, which is at delicious.com/PaulB, and I can find some context, instant context, if you like, to the story that I'm writing about. Instead of having to spend hours sometimes searching around Google for what was that article I read about the BBC and user-generated content. And this can obviously apply to anything. It can be about health, it can be about finance, whatever it is that you're reporting on. Now, in addition to this archiving quality, this personal archive in social bookmarking, there is this social bit, which I haven't touched on. Social bookmarking not only allows you to save your own bookmarks, but it allows you to see who else has bookmarked the same things or who else has used the same tags. And that will lead you to new sources of information, both the information itself and the people who have saved them. And it may be that you want to follow those people on Delicious or on other platforms, if you could, quite often they will use the same usernames. And it means that you will be led to new leads and new sources of information. On Delicious, for example, you can set up a network of people whose bookmarks you are interested in, and you can look at their bookmarks on a particular page, and that page has an RSS feed, which takes me back to RSS readers. Now, in explaining these three different parts of the network infrastructure, RSS readers, social networks, and social bookmarking, I said that they all connected together in some way. And this is kind of taking things to another level, but it's well worth investing some time in this. And the key to connecting these three elements together is the technology of RSS. Social networks and social bookmarking services have RSS feeds. And in fact, on your RSS reader, if you share anything, that will also have an RSS feed. And that means you can connect them together. So if I'm following a network of people on Delicious, I can subscribe to an RSS feed of that network on Google Reader. I can subscribe to an RSS feed of an individual tag on Google Reader. So there's a connection between those two. Likewise, you can use a tool like Twitter Feed to publish an RSS feed to Twitter. And so if I tag something on Delicious, I can use Twitter Feed to publish anything with that tag on Twitter. And as I say, look at the blog post supporting this podcast for more detail on that. And obviously, I've already said how social networks have RSS feeds, which you can subscribe to in Google Reader or an RSS reader. And finally, just to complete the triangle, social networks can also automatically bookmark across to Delicious. So if you use a service like Pacratius, pacratius.us, then any link that you tweet or retweet will be automatically bookmarked on your Delicious account. So I hope that's not too complex a system to describe on an audio podcast. There's a lovely diagram on the blog post and more detail there. But I just wanted to explain the practicalities of setting up a network infrastructure. And the three elements are an RSS reader to keep up to date with developments in your area, social networks to keep in touch with the people in your area, and social bookmarking to create an archive of context around your area to make it possible to report on stories faster. That's the infrastructure that I would advise you to start setting up right now at the beginning of your online journalism project, and then you'll start to build on that progressively as we go through future weeks looking at content and platforms.